Happy Tuesday, everybody. That's already a win right there. Knowing that it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
It's a win. It's a happy hour with Steen and Scott Tuesday. We're coming to you live on 101.3 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We're bringing your sports your way every day. Hope everybody had a nice long weekend. I know I did. We'll talk about that. Got to see how my partner did sitting across from me, if you had a good weekend.
I was in a camper for multiple days, so it was, well, outside of a camper, I will say.
Well, there you go.
Lots of football, lots of beverages, beautiful weather. It was a great weekend.
It was. It was a lot of fun. You can check us out on Twitter. It's at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at 1700 The Champ, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up and done. So you can check those out tonight. We have Twins at the Rays. It starts at 6. Thursday, we have the Lions and the Chiefs, 6:30, between 6 and 6:30 pregame. It's kind of a little bit of if. I don't know what that means exactly. Friday, we have Twins Mets. Saturday, we have Notre Dame, NC State, 10:30 a.m. pregame. Saturday afternoon, you and I, Weber State. It could be Webster State. I think it might
be Weber.
It's Weber State. So they have it on the on our sheet. They have it's not the dictionary. It's the school.
Nope.
So they play Weber State. And then Sunday, 49ers, Steelers, Dolphins, Chargers, and Cowboys, Giants. And then Monday night is Bills, Jets. Man, those are some games. Oh, yeah. So we have so much to talk about for this week. Want to thank our sponsors, as always, Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Des Moines Broadlands Medical Center.
The gala is this week?
It's next week.
Next week.
I think it's the...
It is next week, because I will be in St. Louis.
I think it's the 14th, I do believe.
I believe.
Okay. So where do we start?
Where do you start? That's a lot of stuff going on all weekend.
It was a lot of stuff going on. Let's start that. Let's start with some of our bets on the Iowa State game.
Okay.
I thought Iowa would cover. They did. They did not.
Let's just say I did five bets at $5, and it's all L's for me. Anyway, yes, I thought they would cover. I thought they would cover Brian's points, and they sure didn't Brian's points.
They did not cover Brian's points.
But here's what I did. I was sitting next to, for most of the weekend, a friend that we camp with. He's a former Iowa Hawkeye lineman, blah, blah, blah. And we had had a few cervasis incentives, if you will. And I said, all right, fine, let's do this. I said, Iowa State point spread will be more against you and I than Iowa against Utah State. I said that Iowa State would score more, you know? And he's like, no way, I'll take it, blah, blah. It was a small little bet or whatever. But now I won that one. And I also, so we're double or nothing on next week is what we're going to do for Iowa State. But we didn't trash talk that much, if you will, when McNamara did come out. Pass, first time since 1991, first drive, first pass, touchdown. For the Hawkeyes, I thought, okay, they're going to open it up. They are. They're going to do what they need to do. Touchdown two, still feeling pretty good. Now our conversation between, as I look at you, Steen, where in the world can we take this conversation? Because it can go any direction. Was he re-injured? Did they slow it down? To me, it felt like the coaches slowed it down back to the game where they were going to run the ball and grind. But they didn't run the ball and grind like they should have, because then it became Utah State became effective.
Right.
I was silent. I was sitting there. I'd look over at him, and he'd look at me and say, well, what are you going to say? I'm like, I'm going to say a word.
Yeah.
But your coach just did what your coach always does, is got his two touchdowns, got a lead, and completely pulled the foot off the accelerator.
Yep. And I think some things we might have learned, and once again, it may totally change next week. They're going to face a much better defense.
You were at the Iowa State game.
It is a quick hitting, very aggressive secondary. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch, but you can't do that. You can't do that in college football anymore. And you can't just say, okay, I got a 17-0 lead. I'm good, because you're not good. I mean, they had a couple of plays that if they'd have went the right way, that'd have been a 3-point game.
Yeah.
You already didn't cover, and I know and that's his favorite thing in the world to say, I don't care about it. Well, we don't care about it either, but you know what? Every once in a while, it'd be nice to have a big game like
right.
that okay. and just go out and have some fun.
So now you're going into a whole other realm of what started to pop up as questions in my mind. I had somebody describe the Iowa State offense as very vanilla.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Nothing.
Defense was pounding, doing what were supposed to do. How did the offensive line look? Improved?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they opened holes. I don't think they did anything but block straight ahead.
Okay.
I don't think they wanted anything on there.
Very, very vanilla for the Cyclones in Ames.
Now, they were also up big, and so they could go vanilla.
Exactly. That's right. That was the point. Yep. They were there. They were able to do it. Now we can turn off the offense, and we're going to go ahead and take care of business. Let the defense eat. Now, maybe the point spread was different, but was some of that? Have you seen replays? Have you watched any of the highlights or whatever from the Iowa-Utah State game?
Yeah, we watched some of the game because it was hot, so I was sitting inside for a while. Right.
But did they take their foot off the accelerator to not expose anything because they didn't need to? They thought, we've got this, we're 2 touchdowns ahead. But they never really put the game away, which was scary. No.
And it was, and they relied on their defense, which did okay. But it's Utah State.
Right.
I mean, they still gave up 14 points. It was a weird game. It felt weird. I'm like, the number one thing I'd have done, I'd have taken my foot off the pedal too when I got to 28.
Right.
Take my foot off the pedal and go, okay, right. All you people that don't think we can do this, done. It didn't look like they could do it.
It
looked like, this is what it looked like to me, is the Utah State folks are sitting up in the booth up there going, hey, guys, if they're not going to do anything, let's attack them. We're going to get the ball back. And let's score. Well, and then their defense, and then Iowa's defense made a couple of plays. Or
they did.
That's a closer game than it should have been.
I was expecting an offensive line out of Iowa from years past, where whether it was Gallagher, whether it was these guys that went instantly to the NFL. I was hoping for an improved so that, hey, we've got a pretty good running back. Let's let him grind some yards out to show what we can do.
No,
and it did not seem to be that.
No, that was all. Those touchdowns were all Cade McNamara doing things that we haven't had a quarterback do. And yes, I just said we hadn't had a quarterback do for some time. Now, the problem is you have to keep him upright. And next weekend, you can't let some of those holes that people snuck in and got some licks on him. You can't let that happen.
No.
And it's going to be interesting. I don't know what to think. I'm curious. J.W. Cox, director of broadcasting, the voice of the UNI Panthers, is going to be on in the next segment. I want to kind of hear what he thought, what Mark Farley thought. Here's the one thing you can't do if you're the UNI Panthers. You can't, on your third play, can't give up a pick six and give Iowa State a 7-point lead let them pin their ears back because that defense wants to come at you.
Right.
And I did not think that Theo Day played poorly. I didn't think that Edwards ran the ball poorly.
I think with you to not run past Theo Day, and I'll talk to you now opposed to when JW's on, I think something was said possibly by you last week of he does have a history. He's great when he's got an open field. He's got somebody in his face coming after him. He'll make mistakes, and he
made mistakes. He had happy feet.
They chewed him up.
He had happy feet, and – if you want to know, for Utah State and for you and I and teams like that, there's your difference. The guys on the offensive line, the guys on the defensive line are bigger, faster, stronger, and the linebackers, where your linebackers fill holes, these linebackers on both Iowa and Iowa State attack and attack hard. And that's the things that they're not used to seeing. They're not used to seeing that type of speed. And I guarantee you he wasn't thinking that that corner could make that play that quick on a ball. He thought that, I mean, I'm thinking he thinks, you know, 3 weeks from now, that might be a touchdown for you and I, and it was a pick six going the other way.
Listen,
so it's got some stuff.
Here's something that gets me. As I read down through this, you would not think the outcome of the game was this. Because if you go down time of possession, who wins it? You and I.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, first downs, 19 to 11,
yeah.
You and I. Total yards, 279 to 250, you and I. Passing yards, 173, 116, you and I.
Yep.
Iowa State did get rushing yards, 134 over 106. They had 9-6 penalties. Iowa State had more penalties. Total plays.
Most of those penalties were on defense, too. Right.
Total plays, 72 total plays for you and I, 45. But you look at yards per play, here's where it goes. Yards per play, you and I, 3.9, Iowa State, 5.6.
Yep. And you know the difference in the game?
The very last stat, two turnovers.
They turned the ball over. They got two turnovers. You know what the other part was? And it hasn't been for a long time. Not at this school. When we punted, we punted.
Right.
And we kept them. They were on their side of the field. All those yards they got were on their side of the football field.
And how long was the field goal?
I don't even care. It was over 45 yards.
I want to say it was 56.
Yep.
56. So that... Yay, we punted, did what we were supposed to do. Long field goal, we were able to get it. Good. That's down the calendar. Maybe a 45-yard field goal wins the game. So, I mean, right. The fact that we've got a little confidence
just to send him out there.
Right.
The fact that he even sent him out there, and the kid, as soon as it left his foot, he was already running around celebrating. He didn't even look at it. He didn't see it go through. He just knew it was good.
It was the Tiger walk-away putt, wasn't it?
I thought it was great. Now, I heard a bunch of people going, well, they should have run the ball harder. They should have run the ball better. You know what? They never – every run they ran was outside the tackles. They didn't run up in. I didn't think they wanted people to see that they could run up and in.
The idea was – and I think this is at both camps. I just think their end number was different.
Right.
Coach Campbell had a, hey, we get to this, then we go completely vanilla. Where it was, hey, we got two touchdowns. We did what we wanted to do. Now we just need to stay ahead.
Right.
We're going to put it on the defense. We just need to stay ahead.
And the only difference.
Not put it away.
Right. The only difference that I saw in those two things was the pick six for a touchdown put you and I in a really bad spot.
Right.
And then to score again really quick. Then it was really easy for Matt Campbell to do that. You're in the start of the fourth quarter. Kirk Ferentz almost had to go, okay, we can't continue what we're doing. Because when they got to 14 points, you got to go, whoa, where's the defense? Well, what happened? You know, I slowed the offense down. I didn't slow the defense down.
Right.
So, I mean, I would be concerned about that. Listen, it's a game. If you would have told me last year how the two teams were lined up and we would go into Iowa City and play like we did and win that football game and we were all over at Sarah and Fed's watching that game right. And enjoying it, I never thought I would see that happen at Kinnick to have, no. You know, for them just to be outplayed by that much. Now, the same thing could come and happen. They have a ton of talent on that team. I just don't know.
From the
offense and defense.
From the Hawkeye standpoint.
Yes. And I just don't know if that was that was a really easy thing to say. We had nothing to gain by scoring more touchdowns than two things. One, Brian Ferentz and his contract that says if he doesn't do this, he's going to be let go is bogus because you got tougher games you're going to have that you need to get over that threshold.
It is going to be
bogus.
It's wins.
So, don't believe
wins,
in that.
Wins trump everything.
Absolutely. And I totally agree
it's
with that.
It's funny what wins. Wins can blind eyes to a lot of things in the world. But anyway.
And I read that from last year when Iowa State beat Iowa, and then they had four games in a row that they lost by one, they lost by three, they lost by five, they lost by three. And all of us said, man. What is up with quarterback play. Hunter Deckers did not play well.
Right.
And this is what I saw of Rocco this weekend. I'll tell you first what J.J. Cole and T and I both said at the same time. Well, he's going to learn now. The first thing you do when something doesn't go right, you don't run. Because you were big enough in high school to do that. These guys are really big and they're stronger than you because they're older than you.
And they're fast.
What I thought Rocco looked like, Rocco looked exactly like Brock Purdy looked when he came into that Oklahoma State game. He knows exactly what he's doing. He runs the offense. He moves people. And if I had to give a star of the game, it was Abu Sama from Southeast Polk. He ran like he didn't run like he was a freshman from Southeast Polk.
No,
he ran like he'd been at Iowa State for a couple of years.
Biggest takeaway that I've heard and I go with and have seen far as the quarterbacks out of Iowa State. Right. You're saying Rocco looked pretty. OK, he's not walking on water, but he's pretty sound. Don't make mistakes. Run the offense. You know, and again, we haven't seen that much, but everybody keeps going, oh. Give JJ a little more time. Give him a little more experience. Give him a little
He's big.
And he's
Ben Roethlisberger big.
He's really talented.
He is
so,
very
I mean,
talented.
And not taking a speck away from,
no,
Rocco, from Rocco.
No. I agree with that.
But I'm looking down the road a little further. JJ is supposed to be the you know what.
Neil Shielhouse being my offensive coordinator, pretty happy. And the special team coach. Liking him too. So there you go.
There you go.
All right. We got JW Cox coming in, the director of broadcasting and the voice of the UNI Panthers. We're excited to see what his angle of this game was. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Scott and I'll be back right after this break. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. You can also check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Tonight we have Twins and Rays. Thursday night, we have Lions and Chiefs coming up. That's a huge game. A huge game that took a turn today. We'll talk about that a little later, maybe.
Jingle that bell.
But coming up right now, we have J.W. Cox. He is the director of broadcasting and the voice of the UNI Panthers. J.W., how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys. New week, ready to roll.
It is a new week, and here's some of the good things. It was great to see a bunch of Panther fans. It was some of the funnest tailgating because we had a bunch of Panther fans hanging with us. It was a great atmosphere. It was a great day. And Scott and I just talked in the first hour. I think if you and I had it to do all over again, it could have been a different game, but that first kind of play and you give up a pick six, that puts you in a really bad spot.
Well, yeah, I go back to the very first incompletion. If you look at that very first play from scrimmage for the Panthers, Theo Day chucks it down the field. He's got Sergio Morency. It turns into a pass interference. There was a flag in the backfield for the hit on Theo, too. They take the 15. But if you look back at that video, that ball was exactly where it was supposed to be. Sergio Morency had a step. And, again, you don't fault the defensive back, right? Like, you don't want to get beat. You're going to take the penalty over the six every single day, right? But there's an alternate universe where they hit that play, and who knows what happened the rest of the day. So I think you're right. There's a lot of things that could have happened. That turned out for whatever reason. On both sides of the ball, there were some good things that were done, certainly. But the feeling around here is that was not the Panther team that everybody expected to see that went through camp, and it's not the Panther team that people will see now over the next 10 games that are still out there to come. So, but I agree with you. It was a lot of fun walking in there. That was some of the most fun I've had walking into a stadium in my time here. Just the vibe out there was incredible. So it was a good day from that standpoint. Not a great day for the Panthers, but a whole lot more football to play.
I can't believe that Coach Farley, and I understand that you can take some, you had some things that need to get worked on, but I think he had some positive things in there too. I didn't think the defense played poorly at all. I don't know, we were talking about the Iowa game and Utah State, and I don't know how vanilla everybody was, but when you have quarterbacks that haven't really, for Iowa State, that really haven't had any game time hardly at all, I thought I thought both teams' defenses played really well. You just didn't see that with the score. If somebody looks at the score, they're going to say it's upside down. I don't think it was.
Yeah, and you certainly look from the Panthers' side on the defensive thing side of things. And obviously Iowa State's offense is going to be a work in progress. Nobody really knows exactly what all that's going to look like down the road. But you look at the first, you mentioned the pick six. That's their first seven. Their second touchdown comes after the Panthers were backed up and get a long punt return. It took them eight plays to go the 21 yards to score that second touchdown, which I think speaks well of what the Panther defense was able to do. But on the other side, I mean, that's just another tremendous defense that Iowa State's going to have again this year. So a lot of people are going to have their hands full, first up the Hawks this week, with what that defense is going to do to people while the offense for Iowa State tries to figure it out. But I think for us, the biggest thing that you take away as a Panther fan is there are signs that the defense is back. They did not play perfect. They gave up the long drive to start the second half, which is something when Coach Farley talked to me on the Farley and Friends podcast for this week, that's something he highlighted, because that drive to start the second half that put Iowa State back on the board again, that's kind of what sealed the game, right? I mean, after that point, there was really the comeback chances were even slimmer than they might have been going into the second half, and that's something that he looked at. So areas of improvement, yes, but I think a lot of people around here are looking at the defense looks a lot better than it did at a lot of the points last season all throughout the year, and so that's a place to take a lot of comfort knowing that you mix in a Coach Farley traditional defense with what this offense can do against a lot of other defenses potentially that won't be as good as what they saw on Saturday, and the makings are there for a good 10-game run here.
All right, so we've got Weber State is next on the calendar. They got a win over Central Washington, 35-10. Is there any takeaways from their is there anything that you've heard? It's, hey, okay, we were expecting this. We were surprised by this. What are you guys looking at far as what you've got coming up with Weber State?
Well, I think you look at the 35, and that's a goodly number for them to get out of the gates on the offense, but I don't think that's a surprise. They brought in a new head coach, and he is an offensive coordinator guy. That is his background. And so I think Weber State is going to come into this season, and that's potentially going to be their first strength. I don't take a lot away from holding Central Washington to 10 points. That's not something that's not going to be a world-beating offense at any point, really. So it's kind of tough to get a gauge on that. It's not a Iowa State-level test, certainly. But I do think the Panthers will have their hands full with some returning guys on both sides of that ball for Weber State that can make an impact. And we saw that in week number one with the way they were able to play defense against Central Washington as it is and then put up 35 points. The defense is going to be tested. There's going to be some skill guys out there and some schemes out there that force the Panthers to play solid, play sound on defense. And that's another thing Coach Farley said, though. The new faces that are out there, both to the program and to playing significant minutes, now they've also gone through a Sunday of sitting in film and listening to Coach Farley, listening to Coach Johnson talk about, hey, this is what we expect you to be doing. When the bullets started flying, this is what you did. This is what your response needs to be moving forward. This is how we do it here. And so everybody's more on the same page now than they even were a week ago headed into that Iowa State game. So I think I expect a good showing on both sides of the ball, a rhythm on the offensive side, and the defense getting back to it to try and shut down Weber State.
4 o'clock game at the Dome this weekend. Does JW get to run out and hang with fans for a little bit in the morning, or is it all business all day for you?
Well, first thing, point of business, is I've got the debut of the Pink Cheetahs soccer team for my soon-to-be-8-year-old daughter.
Nice. So that will be Pink Cheetahs.
Cheetahs, awesome.
The Pink Cheetahs will be in action here in Cedar Falls. So I'll have that. But, yeah, that'll be done in plenty of time. We've got a Hy-Vee fan zone that'll be out here. I'll get to hop down and check out some of the tailgating, too. So that's always fun to get the fans back here. And big to have this game. Last year when they went out to Air Force and lost that game, they had to go on the road again the next week to open up, and it was a conference game. They had to play North Dakota at home, and North Dakota, they won again last week. They haven't lost a home opener since, like, 1986 or something. And so that challenge stayed there for the Panthers in week number two. It is nice. You get to come back and regroup and at least be at the Dome where it'll be 72 and clear inside here. And it's where I'm sitting right now. It's going to be great. And yeah, but the atmosphere should be fun. There's still tickets available. We're in a ticket sale as well, celebrating the 125th year of Panther football. 1250 tickets, some great seats between the 30s. So head over to unipanthers.com. If you don't have your tickets yet, great opportunities to get here, be in the Dome to see this Panther team for the first time.
Okay, I want to take us back to the game, and once again, we're talking to J.W. Cox, the Director of Broadcasting and the voice of the UNI Panthers. 35 passes, 37 rushes, 279 yards against a top 10 defense in the country. Is that two questions? Number one is that kind of what Mark Farley likes, having them both be, you know, you're not overdoing one or the other, and going against that defense and looking at film, I have to think that Coach Farley is going to be kind of happy about what the offense actually did.
Yeah, I think to the first part, yeah, I think he loves when it can be that balance, right? I mean, that's as old as football, right? Once they started throwing the ball, if you could do both effectively, that's going to make you do both better. Ty Edwards was the guy who got the bulk of those carries and had the bulk of those yards. He ran impressively in my eyes, watching him live, the big back or the transfer back. He a lot of times he didn't have a lot of space, and he would turn potential negative yard runs into 2, 3, 4 yards, which is not flashy and not what you want, but it shows you the kind of runner that he is.
And looks so great on film.
And, yeah, for sure. So I think there is an element of the run game that the Panthers did like. The offensive line is a little bit like we thought it would be, right? It was mostly guys who haven't played a lot of snaps, and now they've got to figure out what adjustments they need to make going into week number two, and that's going to be one of the biggest things on the offense. But the other thing was an attitude adjustment that Coach Farley, I think, wasn't as impressed with or wanted to adjust headed into week number two, and that's be a little nasty on the offensive side too. Don't just go out there and do your assignment and make a block. Go hit somebody. Go out there and leave a dent, as he said, even from a wide receiver standpoint, making a block on the edge. And so I think what he wanted to see more so than X's and O's and schemes and protections and things like that, the intensity ratchet up just a little bit for the offense on that side of the ball. And I think then the guy, you know, he's on the defensive side. He's a little hands-off when it comes to the offense outside of the complimentary football part, right, directing what he wants the game to look like. But if they're playing with that kind of edge and that kind of nastiness on the offensive side, he's going to be happy, and the production, I think, will follow.
And I think going against an Iowa State team that has their running back room is really good. I don't know if people actually knew what kind of offensive line and how well they would do, but I think that was, you know, just to give kudos to you and I think Iowa State saw that their line and the linebackers and the help. I think they learned some things about their squad, and I think that's a really good thing for you and I thought they played the run amazingly well.
Yeah. And well, especially when you have the number of backs that you can throw out on a day like that, right? Like, it was hotter on the field than it seemed to any of the rest of us anywhere else. By the way, shout out to Jack Tri-Stadium press box now having air conditioning. I was there all week. It wasn't air conditioning. It was beautiful up there. Like, it was the greatest thing ever, but that was not the case down on the field. Those guys were hot. Those guys were putting in the sweat equity there on all the snaps. And so with Iowa State, yeah, they're going to go three deep, right? I mean, at least. So Coach Campbell has a decision on his hands to figure out how he delineates those touches to those top three running backs, even the true freshman Sama, who had some tremendous runs. But yeah, I think the Panthers held up pretty well, and we knew that the defensive line up front was going to be one of the strongest. And some of those linebackers flashed. Josiah Galvin, who is a redshirt freshman, and as Coach Farley said, needs to play like a redshirt junior because of the pressure that's on him at one of those middle linebacker spots. I thought he played really well. He moved fast, he hit holes hard, and he helped seal things off in that run game. So I think it all comes back to there are the makings here on this defense of great steps taken. Once you can separate Saturday from the work now you have to do this week, you'll start to see the positives that you then build on. Nobody's happy that it was a 30-9 loss. Nobody's happy that they gave up the 30 points. But once you get a little steps away from it and you start working towards now this Saturday in this new week, you'll appreciate the strides they've already made and where they stand to jump off towards the rest of the season.
I had somebody ask me, not so much on you and I and the travel to come into Ames, but when you have your next game and you're away, what was travel like for you and I? So when you go to Idaho State, what is a travel day like for you guys?
Mostly, now Idaho State's apparently going to be a little different because we're going to fly out of Cedar Rapids. Most of the time for a trip like that, I don't know exactly what the radius of miles is, but we'll fly, and a lot of times we fly right out of Waterloo. There's a charter airport or a charter terminal right next to the main airport here in Waterloo, and they'll pull the big jet down, and everybody goes through, grabs a Subway sandwich on the way to the plane, and we pack into the plane. Me and Scott Peterson and Dana Cook, our spotter, we sit in the very back, and we enjoy the flight to wherever we might be. And most of them are very short. Like, we flew to North Dakota last year in that week number two matchup, and flying from here to Grand Forks only takes you about 45 minutes once you get up into the air. Obviously, it'll be a longer flight out to Idaho State, but we'll get on the bus, travel down to Cedar Rapids, and then hop on a bus once we get to whatever charter terminal we're going there, and we'll stay at the hotel and get up and go. Unfortunately, it's not till later in the evening, so it'll be a late night coming back after, I think, a 5:30 kick time that we have locally at Idaho State. But, I mean, the travel is great, and it's interesting you bring it up. This travel to Ames, actually Ankeny, where the team stayed the night before, was a little different than in years past. A lot of times they've just driven down, you know, I mean, 90 minutes or whatever, drive right there and show up and go. Earlier game, that wasn't something the team was relishing. Worked through some connections and some great supporters, including a former Panthers sister who runs a hotel in Ankeny and was able to get the Panthers a good deal to get down there. Shout out to the Benj family, former Panther running back Adam Benj. His sister runs one of the courtyards there. Yeah, runs one of the courtyards there in Ankeny and got the team a deal. And then we had a supporter that swooped in at the golf outing late in the summer and said, hey, here's a check. We can go pay for your team to go down the night before. And so the Panthers, Coach probably doesn't like them to be too comfortable, right? Because that's some of what Northern Iowa is all about, right? Doing a little more with less and having the chip on the shoulder. But these players are taken care of, and it is it's a fun experience to travel with this group, see how they go about their business, and see how their focus stays pretty consistent from the time you get on the plane to the time they get to the hotel and go through some meetings for the night before, and then when they get up the next day and it's all business about that the business trip that it is and going out and attacking whatever opponent you get.
We got about a minute and a half. Number one, that's great that some boosters and former Panthers are doing stuff like that. I love hearing stories like that. What else do you have going on up at the UNI Panther Complex for sports-wise this week?
Well, man, the soccer team just keeps rolling. The soccer team is off to their best start, tied for their best unbeaten streak in program history at 5-0-1, so unbeaten in their first six matches. They play at South Dakota on Thursday. If they win that or tie that, that will be the new record for longest unbeaten streak. They'll be back home to take on UT Martin early Saturday. Volleyball just keeps going up against some top competition and coming away with wins. They won 2 of 3 against Creighton. Now they travel down to Texas A&M to face more borderline-ranked teams in a great tournament there. And then the exciting part for volleyball, they'll come back home next week, and we'll have the volleyball-hosted tournament here. And, of course, you saw the news, most people did, that Coach Bobby Peterson extended for 5 years at this point through 2028. All-time winningest in Panther history, Missouri Valley history, certainly well-deserved. And I know you guys are fans of hers. And she has just done some tremendous things. And so that was fun to see this week. That all get finalized on a contract extension for her.
That is awesome. JW, as always, it's a blast. We love talking Panther sports. Thank you very much for coming in. And we will talk to you next Tuesday, my friend.
Sounds good. Wins start Saturday.
There you go, buddy. Have a good one.
Thanks, man.
What a good dude. I like him. Of course we're happy for Bobby Peterson. You betcha. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Last segment of this first hour. Be right back. Once again, I want to thank J.W. Cox, the Director of Broadcasting and voice of the UNI Panthers, for coming on his regular spot today. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter. It's at @ScottBrower_13, at @HappyHour_SS, at 1700, the Champ, and at Steen on Sports. We have Twins and Rays tonight at 6 o'clock. And you got the first read.
First read, Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. Take care of your birds. Let's start over. It's like I had a four-day weekend or something. Jeez. Taking care of your personal business, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, two in Ankeny, one in Ames, three locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking. Whenever your phone is in your hand, go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online to various types of loans, from vehicle loans to mortgages. It all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the Biz Buzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open an account with Northwest Bank. Commitments you can bank on. Member FDIC.
Perfect. Okay, so just some things to finish up. I have a couple of these little statty things out there. Sure. Iowa State was outgained 250 to 279 on offense.
Mm-hmm.
we can talk about it. However, Iowa State had 88 more yards on interception returns, 55 more yards on punt returns. Their punt returns were really well.
Yep.
121 more yards on punts, which has been a ginormous issue in the last couple times. That is what Matt Campbell means by winning in the margins. And mm-hmm. I agree with that. A few more for leading.
Yeah, special like teams coach.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It helps.
I was just mumbling.
A few Cy-Hawk football notes. Iowa drops out of the top 25. I understand the football team doesn't care about that. Fans do. And they think they dropped out of the top 25 because they didn't score enough points. So
they didn't cover the spread.
They didn't cover the spread.
It's just how yeah.
It's Utah State. You got to cover the spread.
It went, two touchdowns. It should have been,
Yep.
Three touchdowns at least, and then you do the
run the ball up again. Yeah, do that.
The slow it down.
ISU received enough votes to get into the top 40.
Yep.
State Senator Jack Whitfer says President Trump will attend the game.
Yep.
I have a quote from Jamie Pollard. The other on here was Jamie Pollard says the ticket problem is being worked on and will be improved. Best advice for fans, get into the game early. That isn't the answer. People aren't. That's the reason that they spend all that money to get into the lots that we get into.
Right.
It's so we don't have to go into the game early. And here's the other thing. And this was my beautiful wife. You know how, when things are slowing down, how reasonable she can be. Mm-hmm. She's like, and all these people stand here. So why did the people that aren't going into Sukup? Why are they coming in this one? This should just be Sukup only. And I looked at her. She goes, don't look at me. And the lady goes, well, we have to get in too. She goes, you've got other places. I'm like, that's my girl.
That's
my girl. Oh,
so she had a few parking lot pops her.
She was good. Pollard says there are 40% fewer workers at Jack Trice Stadium than before COVID. Hard to find enough people willing. Then do a couple of things. Either open up the gates earlier. Or charge less money. You got to do one or the other.
Right.
You've raised ticket prices every single year, and you have hired less people. And I understand what you're saying.
It's hard
to hire people because it's a never-ending story.
You cannot just yell, go hire more. It doesn't work that way.
I understand.
Anymore.
But that can't be your only thing when you're telling people who donate. Now,
right.
We donate enough to get us where we need to be. There are people that donate a lot. And they're going, yeah, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear, you know what? Then you grab one of those things and come down here and start reading things when you can see that. I'm not going to do that either.
Right.
But hey.
I know what you had said, because there's a lot of kiosks going on right now.
Yes.
So you come up, and it's one of his things he was talking about, that Jamie Pollard, is people would come up with, okay, you buy and you have 8 tickets on your phone.
Yep.
You can transfer those tickets to others, so you walk up to your phone, beep, walk away.
Right.
I mean, scroll,
beep. You've got to send them
scroll, beep. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. And
I mean,
it's not, you can't take a picture because it has to have the little barcode with the thing going back and forth.
So no, we can't completely blame that people aren't grasping onto technology. But you also did make a comment that if you playfully wanted to get on to BetMGM, there is no cell coverage because there's so many people there. But that's a problem we run into all the time.
And here's the crazy thing, and I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but the stadium holds a little over 60,000 people.
Yes.
It was full. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was full. And when you're looking, and I'm going in, and I'm one of the last ones, and I'm still seeing everybody, there were 80,000 people there.
Oh, yeah.
So even if you went to your Wi-Fi person and said, hey, we have our stadium 60,000. It's not 60,000 people.
Well,
it's more than that.
And it's been that way for, I've heard a lot of people, what are you doing this? Oh, we're going to go and tailgate. I said, oh, you get tickets? No, we have no intent whatsoever going into the game, but we're going to go over and tailgate and watch the game.
It's 25 bucks to park in the lot across the street.
Right.
And then you walk across the street. And trust me.
Well, the RV park is gorgeous.
The RV park is gorgeous. And, there's another thing, too. And I think that they've been – that was some of the complaints with Sci-Town. I mean, you're losing a lot of park.
No more than when they shifted the RV park over.
I'm saying not right now, but once Sci-Town gets built, you're losing a lot of parking. And where are those people going to go?
Is the footprint really that big, dude? I mean, it's where the tents were down the one side.
It's on both. I mean, when you see the actual footprint, when you walk over there and you see the footprint, right, it's more than what they're letting on. And I thought that was going to be an issue with all the donors with the motorhomes and stuff being over there, and was having a concrete slab and sewer and electric enough, right, to keep them happy.
Yeah.
And I think it is. And they do a great job of, like, bicycle guys going over and picking them up and golf carts going over, sure, and picking them up. You know, you have to figure out a way to entice people to go in early. It's just hard to do on a beautiful day like that. If it was raining, it wouldn't have been a big deal. We'd all been,
right,
inside.
Right.
And it was hot. And, you know, here's the everybody's like, well, why souk up? It was hot. The boys were hot. And they sat at a table and watched that game and a whole bunch of games in the air conditioning and ate dinner. And, you know, that's why souk up's so cool. You know, and if you want to go outside, you can go outside. And I stayed out a long time, because there was a mom and a young son were sitting there for the first time, and his name was Colton. And by golly, I was going to hang with Colton for as long as Colton could hang. And we had a good time. It was just cool watching him watch a football game. And it reminded me of a long, long time ago.
Well, and these are growing pains of what is being done with the location, with the, yeah, surroundings, with let's get the team back to being relevant again. All these different things are opposed to what in the world are we going to do? We can't get fans in here. I would rather have these type of problems than hear about it's can they maybe get four wins? Can they maybe do this? I,
absolutely,
mean, all these different things. I mean, do we have the right coach? I mean, all these are, yes, these are negatives, but these are negatives off of positive problems.
Right. You know, just to throw a couple others. So we park in the parking right across the street there. And it's that 25, it's 25 bucks. You go in early, right, to do that. You can be in there 6 hours ahead of time. Well, so when you're letting everybody go out in that particular parking lot, they send you east and let the others come and go west to go out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the one thing they didn't think about that day either. It's one lane, and it's usually two lanes going that way, and the middle two lanes have road construction, and nobody thought about, hey, maybe we can't send everybody that way, because we were in that parking lot for 3 hours after the game.
Well, you didn't have a cooler?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not complaining. People were complaining. We weren't complaining. Well, Jen was, but...
Come on.
She wanted to go home and go to bed.
I know, but come on. I'm
just saying.
It's not just, hey, we're going to go to the game today. It's this. This is totally, we've got, right, from a bridge, the RV park, the tailgating, the people, the setups they have with TVs and generators stuff. It's an event.
It is.
The RV guys,
cool,
can go a day early and leave a day later.
Right.
They got to love it.
In talking about it as the athletic director, you just have to say, sorry about the logistics.
Right.
Maybe we didn't, we weren't looking far enough ahead for logistics. That's all anybody wanted to hear. And Jamie did that today.
Right.
And I'm good with that. Not everybody's going to be good with that, but I was good with that.
I was going to say, it's you're going to have a packed stadium like you did last weekend, next weekend,
more,
but
yeah,
you're going to have 50% more people outside.
And who are not going to be going into the game.
No,
they're just going to be there tailgating.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's going to be an amazing.
It's the party.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. And
I think
it
was Jack Whitford that said it was the number one rivalry in college sports. I think he's a little biased because he used to be a player.
Right.
But.
and yes. And it's, listen, I had a lot of people say, well, what is he thinking? I'm like, dude, they're politicians.
Right.
That's a lot of people to go shake hands with.
Right.
You know what? And I said, he can come do that here. He just can't go everywhere and have people be like nice to him. Everybody's nice here.
Are you speaking of Trump?
Donald Trump? Yeah. Yeah, not Jack. Everybody likes Jack.
I didn't think Jack had a problem.
No, we all like him. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Second hour coming up. We have to talk college football. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday. You're here. It's Tuesday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700thechamp, at ScottBrower_13, at SteenOnSports, and at HappyHour_SS. Facebook's at 1700thechamp, website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up. You can go and download them at your favorite place to do that. I'm going to go through this week's sports just really quick. Tonight, Twins, Rays, 6 o'clock pregame. Thursday, Lions, Chiefs, between 6 and 6:30 pregame. It says to be determined. Friday is Twins and Mets. Saturday is Notre Dame at NC State early, 10:30. You and I, Weber State at 3. Sunday is 49ers, Steelers, Dolphins, Chargers, Cowboys, Giants, and Monday is Bills, Jets. Those are four outstanding NFL games, so get ready for that. We are a UNI Panther affiliate. We are a Kansas City Chief affiliate, so there you go. And Monday Night Football, so the, what's it say? With Monday Night Football as the end of the NFL week, oh, I get it now. The updates won't come. The updates used to come on Mondays. Now they come on Tuesdays. I got you. That was for me, not for reading ability.
Good job. Good job.
Good job. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Go to woodmancontrols.com and check out an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company, Woodman Controls. My Woodman Controls are going to be really excited with highs in the low 80s.
Yeah.
Not in the hundreds.
Oh, we got lows in the 50s over the next. We get through, I think, what is it, midnight tonight or whatever. Yep. So
nice.
Yes, please.
It'd be nice to get some rain to make those temperatures go down.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Maybe a chance Sunday, Monday, but as of right now.
Okay, let's just finish up really quick here. So just some of the, you know, key talking points we had. ISU game day experience. They're working on it. It happens. The Iowa game versus Utah State, I agree with you, a win's a win. I just think it you kept the narrative alive, and I would have wanted to put the narrative to bed, the 25 points a game. I would have came out and pushed as hard as I could to get to 35 and go, okay, I'm good. And I just don't – I the fact that he's ignoring the narrative
right.
is admirable. I hope it's just that.
Like I said, I was sitting – amidst Hawkeyes and Cyclone fans. And it was, I mean, there was just a lot of eyes looking at each other going, huh, okay. I mean, it's there wasn't the let's jump into this banter thing and finger point that and this and
it was just,
my team is doing it. It's like, I don't want to say anything right now. But it just, it was, they came out of the shoot. I thought, okay, congratulations, you guys. You got a quarterback and you're going to do this, this, and this. And that just the foot came off the accelerator and it went.
I think
just
they were
stagnant.
I think they were worried about getting him hurt too, because he's definitely not 100%.
I don't know, and it's a quad, right?
Yeah.
That So he limped a couple times.
He's got that.
Okay, he's somebody chasing him. Yeah, yeah, somebody chasing him down.
And they tackle him and from behind.
Oh,
that's ugly.
So yeah, that is scary. That is scary.
Jumping up to some NFL stuff. Travis Kelce went out with a knee sprain today.
Well,
a knee injury, maybe.
It was a hyperextension, which that that or whatever. But I just got a thing that popped up and said that there's at this point in time seems to be no tear, so it's a strain. They're going to run him through the paces. There's still an outside chance he's questionable for Thursday.
Jamie's saying that everybody needs to be in to the 2:30 kickoff game by 1:45. Good luck with that.
Really? Okay, just please, whatever you can do to put a big wedge between Jamie Pollard and Steen on Sports would be great. Appreciate
Jamie,
that.
Jamie gets my really bad sense of humor. No, I'm just, that's like, he might as well have said, come in at 10:30 and we'll let you just stare at the grass, you know?
This is from a guy that gets to go to Sukup,
right?
And oh, we had a meal and some beverages. It was amazing.
It was amazing. And nice.
I had to have a sweater. It was so cold.
It was nice and chilly.
Wow.
It was good. Okay, so just one other thing with Donald Trump and this Jamie Pollard. I'm yay for this. It's like
yay for
Jamie
this.
Pollard goes, I don't really like them coming here. It's just too many people, and it brings that. There's nothing that we can do. I guarantee you this, and if someone tells you differently, they're not telling you the truth. They get no special passes, and they get no special favors.
That's not from you. That's from Jamie.
That's from Jamie. That was an exact
He also gave
quote.
Kudos to his team that they are fully aware of it, and they've played these type of games before.
Right.
Because we are, I mean, it's whatever, a big, you know, we've had candidates, we've had former, we all these different things. They know he was just like, well, not everyone has an entourage like the Don.
Yep, that's true. Okay, so my last one here is with some of these teams in playing Division I AA schools or playing in all these smaller schools, is running up the score. Do you have an issue with running up the score? You had some big score runs this weekend.
Do I have with the format that is currently upon us about ranking teams to be put into a playoff? And then we're expanding the playoff.
Right.
If you are considering being in the playoffs, yes, every chance you get, you run the score because you get point differentials. You have to. The matrix of how they figure this out is about scoring.
So you paid, like Oregon paid Portland State a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
probably $500,000, 81-7.
Yep.
Oklahoma paid Arkansas State 73-0.
Yep.
Okay. I don't, Ole Miss paid Mercer 73-7. There was a couple of 66-13. Cincinnati ran the score up.
How much did Wyoming get paid? Excuse me, was it Wyoming State?
Because
they won.
Yeah, a couple hundred grand. That's the problem.
Those
right?
are the ones I like.
Baylor paid $350,000 and got beat 42-31 to Texas State.
That is the stat I heard? Texas State is actually the fourth largest school in Texas. I mean, there is some alum. There's all these different things, but still.
Yeah, it's not. Just
give me that score one more time for a Baylor game against Texas State.
It was 42-31. Baylor only scored 31 points. That's a 15.
Baylor gave up over 40 points.
40 points. Yep.
Holy buckets!
I thought the same thing.
Okay.
You know, here Illinois paid Toledo 130-28 at home. I mean, that's scary. I mean, there's some scary things.
Right.
The LSU Florida State game. I'm like, wow. All those five-star kids on both sides, you know, but Brian Kelly, man, he left Notre Dame because I have to go somewhere where I can get kids. And they're in it is the NIL gold mine in college sports.
Brian Kelly's southern accent didn't really seem to come up a lot that night.
That is a horrendous loss, Scott. I mean, that takes your season away. With a loss, you're done. LSU's done. They can't get into the football playoff. It's crazy. Florida State played really, really well.
They did look pretty put together.
And the best one of all, because I don't know what he's done to me. I don't know what it is, but the one coach I can't stand is Dabo Sweeney.
Yes.
And they it was
at Texas A&M.
They played Duke. 7-6 at halftime, and he got beat 28-7.
Yeah.
That is funny. That is good. That's great stuff. That's not even good stuff. That's great stuff. I just wondered what you would think about if you had a thought process on running the score.
You know what? I don't have a problem with the whole run it up. You do what you're supposed to do to get everything out so that when you start playing. It comes down to, well,
we have two coaches in this state that don't do that, though.
I don't think Kirk would ever do that. I think if Jamie had a chance, he probably would now, though, knowing that, you know what, just pull the cork off, let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, but who? Who's he going to do that against? I mean, look at the schedule.
Yeah.
If he got a chance to put up, you know, a 60-7 run on somebody, yeah, he's going to.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't see that.
And especially for Iowa State this year, there's a whole slew of first time starters. You got to let them play,
right?
And they actually, if it's humanly possible, and I didn't think it was, we actually played more conservative than Iowa did.
No, I would agree with that.
I also think you and I was a much better team, and I think their defense is going to be really good. Tom Brady had a funny today. Did you happen to see that on social media?
He thought he was going to be the hired third Manning?
No. Oh. That was funny, too. That social media blast from those guys, yeah. and all that.
They are genius.
They are. They were talking to him. The question that was asked is, more and more people are starting to think that the NFL is scripted.
And, oh, that's such
and,
BS.
And Tom Brady looked at him and goes, do you really think that me, Tom Brady, would follow a script that I have to lose to not Peyton Manning, I had to lose to his little slimy brother, Eli? No. I might have added the slimy
part. Yes.
And I'm kidding, because I think Eli Manning's hilarious, too. He goes, there's no way that you can script these games. You go, come see one of our practices and see on against teammates how angry these guys are. You can't script when people are that angry.
The name we just brought up, Travis Kelce, popped. You've seen the footage. He popped one of his teammates.
Oh, yeah.
And he apologized on, I need to be a better person. I need to do this, this, and that. But then again, he is the pinnacle of competition. And it got chippy and Chevy or whatever, and he swung back. But still, yeah, I laugh at that. That is so. How could you possibly think that it is? So with the ratings coming out for college football, I'm sure if you got that on your list or whatever, do you want to wait for a segment to finally talk about Colorado, or are you being coy to not talk about it?
I was being coy because And listen, it could fall apart tomorrow. I'm telling you, that dude can will people to do things that they wouldn't do for anybody else. I don't care if people like him, don't like him. What he does for those kids, that it works, Scott. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he is behind closed doors. All the people saying, well, the only reason his kid got to go to Colorado is because he did. Did you see the kid?
I was
going to
say, that's the thing. I'm like, I think there's a lot of people that would want Deion Sanders' son, the way he just performed,
yes,
on their team.
The Hunter playing both sides of the ball and playing as well as he did and playing 113 snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, these kids are unreal. And for all the people, he came and he was supposed to help the HBSU or whatever. With Jackson right. State and all that, he was supposed to help them. They have 100 the whole grouping of them have over $100 million more in revenue because of what he did at Jackson State. And for all the people, well, he can't compete with Nick Saban and he can't compete with Brian Kelly and he can't compete. Yeah, he can.
Yeah, he can.
Because kids get him. You have Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney and all these guys. They're 70-year-old guys yelling at 20-year-old kids. This is prime time. He actually was relevant a few years ago.
Well, and he's also connecting in a way of, I'm not going to just be a yes man to the way you think your life needs to be. Nope. I'm going to tell you, I'll give you the script. If you want to follow my script, I'll tell you how to get there.
And I'll get you there.
But don't give me, I'm not going to yes you all the way through everything just because you're talented.
And if your parents think something different, this school's not for you. And I think that's one of his first things that he talks to him. Listen, there's never been a parent that's got somebody into the NFL. Not a one. No parent's ever going to get
sure?
there.
Archie Manning?
Well, he just has really good genes.
I think it's mama.
I think it's mama. Yeah. Somebody does. It's just, he thinks differently, and he can relate to these kids still. And that's the thing. A lot of these kids go into these programs, and all they do is get barked at. And I'm telling you right now, he probably barks just as much as everybody else does. But when he goes out and gets on a microphone, he isn't cutting anybody down. He's not throwing anybody under a bus, and he's pumping his kids up by talking about it.
But see, with that being said, I agree with you to a certain extent, but he also is bigger about accountability.
Oh, absolutely. There, it's, there, it's, If you're not accountable, you can't play for him.
No. I mean,
if you're out late on a game night, you might as well. I don't care who you are. If his son didn't come home, his son wouldn't play.
Exactly.
I guarantee you his son would not play.
Right. I was happy to see it. I financially was not thinking that was going to happen. Like I said, $5 bets, and every single one of them has a big old L next to it. So
we're going to talk about that when we come back.
I was going to say,
because we had this is
weird.
What
the Hawkeyes didn't cover. Weird.
This is what we have coming in, right? So we got Florida, Utah. We did that one. Nebraska, Minnesota. We did that one.
Yep.
The Hurricane in Miami of Ohio. I don't know why you picked that one, but I thought it was kind of cool. We had Hawaii, Stanford, Colorado, TCU, and we had Iowa, Utah State, and ISU, UNI. So we will, when we come back in this next segment coming up here in about 1 minute, we'll go through our bets, and then we'll kind of pick out a couple of big games that are coming this weekend. And we're not talking the Iowa State game today. We'll start talking about that tomorrow.
I've got one though, as I do look through last weekend scores. They're one that it's interesting to me. So Ohio State Buckeyes, right, played the Indiana Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
It was 23-3.
And if Ohio State has two quarterbacks, guess how many quarterbacks they really have?
None.
If you can't on your home field, and you cannot beat Indiana by more than that, I would worry.
That was one of them that I went, ooh. Okay.
They have had a great quarterback for so many years now that the simple fact that they couldn't pick a quarterback should worry people. And it brought the whole team down. And
that was a red flag.
And Ryan Day hasn't got a pass yet. I mean, you got to win championships if you're at Ohio State. Yeah. It's not good enough to get into the college football playoffs. That's weird. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We got some betting analysis coming up, and it might not be pretty. Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at @ScottBrower_13, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, and at @HappyHour_SS. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Twins Rays tonight right after the show.
Sure.
So you have Heritage.
Heritage Building Maintenance provides peace of mind in protecting the future of your building and its occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance, as certified partners of science-proven microbial control, provide an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services. Through data-driven research and development, customers who participate in their science-proven program can be rest assured that they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their built environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and the science-proven microbial control program, feel free to reach out to them and one of their dedicated team members at heritagebldg.com or 515-868-0842 today, Heritage Building Maintenance.
There you go.
Where are you going now?
Okay, so first one we had... we had Florida, Utah, and you took Florida.
Yes, I did.
I took the over, and I don't remember what the, it was 35. So we both lost.
I was going to say, it was not good.
Nebraska, Minnesota.
24-11, Utah over Florida. There you go.
Nebraska, Minnesota. You took Nebraska. I took Minnesota. It was 7.5, and we both lost that one.
Yeah.
Miami, Ohio versus the Miami Hurricane. I'm trying to find that one.
I'm trying to find that one too, but you're.
There it is. It was 38-3, and we both, I took the over, and I lost. You took the Hurricanes -16.5. And you won. I think the over was 54.
There you go.
I don't see the Hawaii-Stanford score. the Colorado-TCU game, I took Deion. You took TCU.
Yeah.
That was a good one. And we both took the We both took the Hawkeyes. Didn't cover.
Didn't cover.
Nope. And you took UNI, and I took Iowa State.
I took UNI to cover.
Cover.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
So I'm gonna have to keep betting against Iowa State, so they just keep winning. Just keep winning.
Okay, I still can't find the Hawaii game. So if somebody out there, why am I not?
All right. So Hawaii? Okay. So the Minnesota game, Minnesota Nebraska game, it was a 10-13 game. Did you watch the game?
I listened to the game.
Okay. I really thought Nebraska had it.
I wanted Matt Rule to win. I'm a Matt Rule fan. I'm not a Nebraska fan, but I'm a Matt Rule fan.
So where do you go this weekend? This weekend you have Nebraska Huskers at the Colorado Buffaloes.
At Colorado. I think Nebraska gets run out of the state.
You still think this is going to be one more week of the tidal wave of hype that is Deion Sanders?
Yeah, especially at home.
Man, dude, it's Matt Rule, though. I mean, and I'm not saying I'm a Matt Rule honk, but I mean,
Nebraska doesn't have any offense, and they got beat by that. Colorado has all kinds of offense. I don't know. I mean, at some point, you see, here's the problem, is Matt Rule is a disciplinary guy, a no-nonsense guy, and you just...
But you can't make a cake with a bare cupboard, right?
You know, and you kind of messed that one up. So you probably lost 25% of your locker room already because you didn't pull out a win for us. Even though Matt Rule's not playing, he's just right. Coaching. I
mean, to look forward, so this weekend Nebraska is at Colorado. Then the Northern Illinois Huskies are at Nebraska the week after that. Then the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs are at Nebraska. So he could get back onto a mental winning drive.
I think he'll be 2-2.
Okay. And then Michigan comes to town.
Yeah, that's not good. Okay. That's definitely not good. I don't.
He's got a schedule, Matt Rule does, that he could actually, step one, to get these guys back to a bowl game is what he needs.
Right.
And he goes Michigan, Illinois, Northwestern, boy, that is a rough team right now. Purdue, Michigan State, Maryland, Wisconsin, and then to finish out with the Hawkeyes.
Do you think that Northwestern might have had some other problems besides just it's karma one, right?
Right.
So
but that's rough.
Some interesting games coming up too. You have Indiana State. I always like those
in-state rivalries.
This is a huge one, though. Illinois travels to Kansas. Both of them are 1-0. Both of them played really well. That'd be a huge game for Kansas to win. I mean, I think Kansas is a better football team.
Who? Which game? Kansas?
Kansas. So they play Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
And then another big one, Wake Forest Vanderbilt in the ACC. One of those teams is going to be 3-0. Who's going to get that? Swan is the quarterback for Vandy. Threw for 452 yards. I don't care who you play. If you throw for 452 and 5 touchdowns, that's a good game.
Right.
That's fun to see.
Georgia at Texas A&M at Miami.
See,
Randy.
For Randy, because I'm not a huge Hurricane fan, but I'll never tell him that. No, I'm just kidding. I talked to you how cool Texas A&M Stadium, the city,
right.
All of that. Jimbo Fisher is even a bigger jerk than Dabo Sweeney. So every time he loses, he gets paid like $17 million a year, and he can't win football games.
I have a friend, a salesman friend, who is an Aggie alum, and he just goes, how much longer? Really? How much longer? I'm like, dude, I don't have a phone number, first of all. Don't ask me, but it's you are an alum. You are a booster. You figure it out.
Here's an interesting one, too. Youngstown State plays Ohio State. And I know that Ohio State is, but they didn't score a lot of points. And Youngstown State is it's an FCS school.
Right.
A really good FCS school. I'm curious to see what they can do. I think that's going to be interesting. Here's the biggest thing that I'm seeing, though, with these games is like the Ohio State game. These games are in the 70s, not the hundreds that they were this weekend. Baylor, Utah. I mean, what a big game for Baylor. I mean, you can't go 0-2.
Yeah, you have to recover.
And I watched that Utah game.
It's at Baylor.
Yeah, it's at Baylor. Utah's a really good team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is a really, really good team. Another one of these crazy little games. K-State plays Troy. Troy, another one of those top small schools,
right.
FCS schools, to see what they can do against K-State at home. I think that's going to be interesting. Yeah. Right now, the line on the Colorado game is 3.5. Colorado favored by 3.5.
Right.
And the over-under is 59.5. That's conventional wisdom would tell you that. I don't know.
Honestly, this game is
start of the day, 68 degrees.
Is this game big immediately, or is it going to be even bigger 2 years from now? You've got the Texas Longhorns at Alabama.
Well, I think it's a bigger game this year because of Ewers quarterbacking at Texas and Alabama still not set on who their quarterback is. And I hate this part. I think Nick Saban, like when he does his Aflac commercials and all that, I think he's hilarious. I just don't like him as a football coach. And if he was my football coach, I would love him because of his arrogance, but I don't like him because of his arrogance.
But he hasn't been unproven.
No.
Missing the playoffs last year,
hurt. And boy, did he whine.
Now they're going to change the rules so they make sure that he always gets in and he can make a run for it.
Here's the thing that I'll hold in high regard to him, and maybe it'll help me sway you. The one person in life that he loves and he would do anything for is Deion Sanders.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. I mean, that is...
Oh, they're going to say Bill Belichick. I'm like, God, I know.
No, we already know that
one.
I don't think I'm relevant anymore. No. That's going to be a...
That's a big one.
It's huge.
Well, it should be because it's an SEC game, so it's going to get promoted.
Is it in Alabama?
It's at Alabama.
Yeah, that's a tough game. Yeah, and the only reason I say this is because... And you know what? It has repercussions because Steve Sarkisian is at Texas. And Nick doesn't like the fact that one of his championships that he won, that everybody gives credit to Sarkisian because of the offense. I don't think they get along as well as what they used to there. So that'll be really interesting.
Another good one coming up when it's the night game, Stanford and USC.
That'll be an interesting game.
It will be.
So... right now, Iowa State is Iowa's a 4-point favorite, and the over-under is 36.5. Man, that's a low score.
Yeah,
I mean, they could still keep Brian Ferentz in the "I'm going to get fired" thing, and they'd still win like 2014. I don't know.
I don't either.
That's too tough a game.
Well done by both coaching staffs, not showing us a blank thing.
No, I mean the only thing that I think that you can say is Cade McNamara makes a big difference, but if he can't maneuver and he can't get out of the pocket and he doesn't want to get hit, that's going to be a problem. And this is the first time in a long time that Iowa State has actually had a punter and a kicker when they play Iowa. And I think that's a huge deal. Some of the games that they've lost.
Here's my match that I'm looking at. I'm looking at the Iowa O-line. I'm looking at the DNs for Iowa State.
All the different things that they're going to throw at Cade McNamara.
Is because if he is not 100% and he's got a quad soft tissue, like you said, trying to skirt out of the pocket and get caught from behind, you go down on top of that.
Yeah. Whoever runs closest to 100 yards wins the game. I think that's the difference.
No, I mean, a running game, not the quarterbacks.
No, not the quarterbacks.
You really want mobile quarterbacks, don't you?
Whoever gets over that 100-yard mark rushing, I think, wins the football game. And it didn't show anything with Rocco. I told everybody after the game, I remember watching Brock Purdy play against Oklahoma State in his first game after quarterback that is the quarterback's coach at Iowa State, when he got hurt, he looked exactly just like Brock Purdy did going through. Now he's a freshman, he's the same type of thing, redshirt freshman, The way he moves, the way he moves to throw, the way he, the thing that I love the most that he did against you and I when he did complete passes is he was throwing to somebody that he did not look at. I mean, he glanced at him, but didn't stare him down. You know, that was last year's quarterback problem, Spencer Petras. He stared everybody down. Cade McNamara doesn't do that either. He does not give away who he's throwing that football to.
Nate Schiesel?
Huh?
Nate Schielhaus? There you go, yep. Schielhaus.
I like that. I like what he did. He had a good game plan. Even though they didn't do anything, he knew what he wanted to do.
Okay.
And I think he got that. And I think the one thing they were surprised about is Abu, how hard he ran.
Right.
I mean, that opened people's eyes, I think. And it's gonna be exciting to see what happens. That's a 2:30 game and it's on CBS. No, not on CBS. It's on Fox.
Yeah.
I moved my mouse too quick. 36.5.
I know it's like it's
begging
like they,
you to go
yeah,
over.
Please, we're gonna entice you. Yeah. This guy has to score points. We're almost giving it to you.
Yeah. one more. So Appalachian State plays North Carolina at North Carolina. Another one of those games that these teams bought into, paid these guys. Appalachian State is a really good football team.
Oh, I know.
That's another one of those games that you go, man, there's other teams out there that you can be playing that aren't as good as these guys. Pittsburgh-Cincinnati, another huge game. And you're right, Alabama-Texas, Oregon-Texas Tech. I mean, that was a loss that Texas Tech took that I don't think they thought they were going to lose.
No. Run down your top 10 right now. You got for the AP, top 25. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Michigan. Number three, Alabama. Number four, Florida State, 5, Ohio State.
I don't think Ohio State deserves to be at 5. Who's at 6?
USC.
I think USC deserves to be. They have 2 wins against. They didn't play anybody, right. But neither did Ohio State.
Penn State, 7. Washington, 8. Tennessee, 9.
Washington quarterback. Really fun. Felix.
I thought that was Helix.
I think it's left-hander. Yep. Really, really fun.
Round out the top 10, Notre Dame.
Overrated. Didn't play anybody.
Hasn't played anybody.
And moved up. That's just people.
But it was
people.
I know. People being people. Texas, Utah, Oregon, LSU, Kansas State. Oregon State. There's the Beavers.
Yeah.
North Carolina, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Ole Miss, Duke at 21, Colorado up to 22, 23, Texas A&M, 24, Tulane, and at 25, Clemson.
Clemson shouldn't be in there after losing that game.
I agree.
That's ridiculous. They got beat by a basketball school. Oh my goodness. I would be embarrassed.
But Duke's up to 21.
Yep. I would be embarrassed if I was Dabo Sweeney, but he has no conscience, so he's not gonna be embarrassed.
Wow.
So there you
wow,
go.
Wow, you feel better, don't
I
you?
I do feel better. I wish he was listening, but he's not. You're well, listening though, and you're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3. 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One segment left. We got a lot of stuff to still talk about. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at Scott Brower _13 and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. Minnesota Twins playing the Rays tonight, 6 o'clock pregame. So right after this last segment, as always, we want to thank Broadlawns, Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls for being a part of our program. A lot of stuff to talk about. Tomorrow we got to do a deep dive because we start NFL football on Thursday. So here's an awesome thing. As much as I complain about people, you know.
Yeah, let me get my pen out. Write this down.
Write that down. About auto drafting.
Yes.
So I was so happy last night. I was sitting watching a couple of episodes of Ted Lasso going, oh, man, this was just you know, I just felt like it was Sunday, but it wasn't Sunday.
It was Monday.
And my NFL fantasy draft for work was at 8 o'clock. And I go, Jen, what time is it? She goes, 9:30. And I auto-drafted. And
how'd you do?
Actually, so there were 14 of us, and I didn't pick until the 11th. And when it graded out afterwards, I was in the upper half. I didn't pick a single soul.
Our second one. This is with the guys from Francie's. Ours was Sunday night at 8.
Mm.
So, and I had the third pick.
Mm.
Fourth pick. Third pick. Anyway, that's rough. I had to go with somebody who's good. So I went with Tyreek Hill. I hate going early on those, but I got Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback.
There you go.
Kittle, Higgins, Akers. I did get David Montgomery. I think David Montgomery is going to be good.
I got David Montgomery as well.
So real quick before we get too far into it, we've lost three. Obviously,
yes.
We knew, rest in peace, Jimmy Buffett. That was how many times over the weekend you heard somebody hear the news and go, oh, my God, we lost Jimmy Buffett. So it I think he had been fighting something for a while. It was very quiet. Went in at home with, what was it, his family, his wife, his family, his dogs. He went. But, yeah, that was a tough one. Was it just yesterday, Gary Wright? Remember the song Dreamweaver?
Great song.
And then this one, Steve Harwell, the singer from Smash Mouth.
Yep, that hurt too.
At 56. So that, they come in three. So let's get away from that for a while.
Okay, so I was going to tell you. So I got in auto picking, which I feel horrible for. I got Dak Prescott, A.J. Brown.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
T. Higgins, Tony Pollard, David Montgomery, George Kittle. DK Metcalf, AJ Dillon, Rashad Bateman, Tyler Higbee, Kenny Pickett. I got Daniel Carlson.
That sounds like a lot of names from last year, though.
It's Dallas and Cincinnati defense. Yeah, but so yeah, you did. It is what it is. So we'll see what happens.
I like my first team. When that first team where I got the first pick, and it fell together. I like that.
Yeah,
because I'm in two. One's a family one. One's a friend.
That's not a bad. Picking first isn't bad.
No, it's delightful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It was a snake draft. There's 10 teams, and then so it worked out well.
Yep.
I got who I wanted.
So some potpourri. I love to do some potpourri. You have to pick one of these films to watch a lot.
Okay.
And you can't watch the other two. Would you take Backdraft, Kurt Russell, Armageddon, Bruce Willis,
and
Ben Affleck,
Liv Tyler,
really good. Or Cliffhanger with Sylvester
Stallone. Never been a Cliffhanger fan.
Really?
Nope, not a chance. So, I would Armageddon all day long.
I would too.
I'd dump the other two in a heartbeat.
I love Armageddon. Anytime that's one of those movies that comes on,
I'm done. Well, from Steve Buscemi to, was it Michael Clark Duncan?
Yes.
The real low voice. Yeah.
Yep.
Mr. Coffey.
Des Moines International Airport?
Yes.
New terminal is one step closer to expansion and replacement after Polk County Supervisors meeting on Tuesday for getting the $350 million to... Right.
They were close. They only needed like $54 million. They were close.
Yeah. So that's good.
It's going to be awesome. And they're doing it. They're doing it smart. They're doing it in stages. I mean, man, when they pulled the trigger to do a stage, that loop-de-loop they did to get rolling went quickly.
Yeah, it did. I agree with that.
From what is it? From it would be McKinley now to Watrous, I think it is. That's that next go round of Fleur to be done. They're getting real close.
Until they have to start all over again.
I know they'll start the other end. It'd be fine. But no, it's they actually. I saw them down towards Grays Lake. The one of the big reasons they put this in is for the irrigation down the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were actually going through and making sure it worked. So, I mean, they're getting closer and closer to
that's awesome.
To taking a year off and starting over again. So,
How do you say Shador Sanders? Is that how do you say Deion's son's name?
Little Sanders.
Little Sanders. I'm with you.
Shador
is now projected to make about $3.8 million through NIL. He was at 2.5 before the TCU game. His Sanders' projected NIL earnings is over $2 million more than Dak Prescott's base salary this season, which is 1.7. Nearly $3 million more than Joe Burrow's base salary. Awesome. And also nearly $3 million more than both Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence's base salaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Well, NIL's a living, breathing thing, isn't it?
And this is, here's one thing that I like about Kirk Ferentz, because it's funny this way. Kirk Ferentz, when told Donald Trump would be in attendance for this weekend's game, said, great, so will 60,000 other people. I thought that was a good one as well.
Real quick.
Yep.
Let's talk. Southeast Polk is now atop of the Class 5A.
Yep.
With their win.
I went over. I'm trying to think whose two games were better, Dowling's or Southeast Polk's.
Well, it's the Southeast Polk had 59 votes. Dowling had 55. So yep. Dowling is number 2. Cedar Rapids Prairie, number 3. Linmar, 4. Bettendorf, 5. Okay, Bettendorf, 5. Cedar Falls is 6. 7th, Waukee Northwest, 1-1.
Yep.
Cedar Falls, 1-1. Ankeny, 1-1, tied for 8. Johnston, 1-1, tied for 8. At 10th in Class 5A, West Des Moines Valley at 0-2.
0-2. That can't happen. Even though that's two tough games. You had to play Southeast Polk and Dowling right out of the chute. Two of the best teams in the state. Right now, if I had to... I've watched bits and pieces of both games. I actually Southeast Polk games. Dowling Catholic is really, really tough when they can run the football, and they're running the football really, really well.
And
people just aren't scoring on them. I asked Coach. He came to, so Ben and Andrew and Nate went with us up to the game, and Coach came after practice, and I said, "Hey, when's the last time Valley's been shut out?" I think we did it to him in 2020, and I'm like, "Yeah, that doesn't happen very often." He goes, "No," and he goes, and he said, I think Ben said that they had 3 or 4 turnovers on Valley's side of the field, or it had been really, really, really bad. So that was interesting. So,
well, last week it was Dowling first, Southeast Polk, and then Ankeny, and Southeast Polk put a 58-21 on Ankeny. So I think Southeast Polk is doing what they need to do as well.
I agree with that. And their that Valley game, they in the second half they dominated Valley as well. That's a good team too. It's going to be interesting. The Waukee Northwest game was pretty cool.
Yeah.
What a stadium. I mean, that's a collegiate stadium. I'm sorry.
Yep.
But, so how confident are you, AFC playoffs? I'm looking through here. They had 4 different people picking these, and the only teams that made it all the way through. So to win the division, Jacksonville. Does that worry you that everybody's picking Jacksonville?
Nope.
Everybody's picking Jacksonville. Everybody's picking Kansas City. And then all the rest of them. The only one that's not wavering is a wild card for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought that was kind of interesting. Mike Tomlin doesn't lose football games.
No, he does. I was going to say, I think he's getting more out of Kenny Pickett than what people are giving him hope for.
And then the Bengals are the next. They're in 3 of the 4. The Ravens are in 3 of the 4.
I worry about the Bengals. Bengals feel like the Bills for me right now. They kind of miss the edge of the knife. You know what I mean?
And I don't think Cincinnati's as talented as Buffalo, but I'm not a big fan of Sean McDermott. So I mean, I struggle because. I think he puts them in bad situations, and I don't have a real feeling. There really isn't. Even Philadelphia is not on everybody's in the NFC. The NFC is a crapshoot.
I was gonna say the NFC is wide open.
Well, that was a quick Monday. That was a Tuesday. So
welcome back from a long weekend.
Guess what? NFL tomorrow, folks. It's a lot of NFL coming up, and we're going to talk a lot of NFL. So we will get back into it tomorrow. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. See you tomorrow.